I believe that networking has always been a cornerstone of business success. There's nothing quite like the in-person meeting to build strong relationships and open doors to new opportunities. And now we're seeing a big comeback to face-to-face networking post-pandemic. People are eager to reconnect, to shake hands, and share ideas face-to-face. But this time around, we have AI starting to make its mark on the networking scene. It's making connections faster, more precise, and sometimes even before we step into the room. So how does this blend of traditional and tech-driven networking shape our future? Well, to dive deep into this fascinating intersection, I've got the perfect guest joining me today. I am thrilled to welcome Dr. Ivan Meisner, the founder of Business Network International, or as most call, BNI, the world's largest business networking organization. With his unparalleled insights into the world of networking and how it's evolving with technology, Dr. Meisner is here to shed light on how AI is influencing the way we connect, build relationships, and grow our business in the new era. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Buzzworthy Marketing Show.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Meisner.
Hi, how you doing, Michael?
I am doing well.
And please call me Ivan.
Ivan, awesome. Thank you very much for that. The last time you and I saw each other was like late 2000s. Like 2008, 2009, we were at an awards banquet for BNI of some sort, smoking cigars and sipping whatever we were sipping back in the day.
Yeah.
I want to thank you before we get into this conversation for BNI, because I was a member for 11 years and it was the catalyst to my first million in revenue for my business. And without Giver's Gain and without the connections and the networks that we had created through BNI, and this was up in Anchorage, Alaska, of all places, I would have been as successful with it. So I want to just thank you for that. And I want to thank you for your time today. We're diving into this.
Can I just say thank you for bringing that up? And I love hearing that. We really want to make a difference in people's professional lives by helping them build their business. I don't know if you know, but last year we passed over 15 million referrals.
Nice.
And we generated over 24 billion. I think it was in the last 12 months, it's been 24.7 billion with a B. $24.7 billion in thank you for closed business. And as you know, that's the amount of business that members generate
right
for their business, 24 billion. Now, just so you know, Michael, 24 billion, there are, based on the United Nations estimates of GDP, gross domestic product, there are actually 100 countries lower than what BNI did in thank you for closed business in the last 12 months. That blows my mind.
And that, I was about to say, I'm sure that's higher than most, a lot of GDPs. And 100 countries, that is literally 40% of the countries in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing to me that we are generating that kind of business. And it tells me that we're making a big difference in communities all around the world and in businesses like yours and many others.
I appreciate that. And I do. Your business has been around since, if I remember correctly, the mid to late 80s?
1985. We will be celebrating our 40th anniversary in January.
Wow, that is so awesome. I got another year until my 20th, so that give you some perspective there.
Well, I earned all this gray hair.
Well, I've already lost all mine, so I don't know what to do with it. So you've seen technology. I mean, literally networking before the internet, right? Yeah. Like this, that was a different world back then. And then the introduction of the internet in the 90s really didn't take a hold until probably the early to mid 2000s, if you will. But now we have this thing called AI.
Yeah.
How are you seeing the evolution of networking as the evolution of technology continues to just rapidly impact our lives?
Well, that's a multi-layered question. And let's go back to, the fact that BNI started before the internet, and really before most computer systems. The first computer I had back when I started BNI was a CPM-based computer with two floppy disk drives. So, we go way back. But BNI has been an early adopter to technology from the beginning. And a lot of people are surprised to hear that because we're in person, for the most part, in person networking organization, although that's changed since COVID. But anyway, we have always been an early adopter to technology. You can't have a three-letter domain name, BNI.com, unless you're an early adopter.
Right.
And so we've always been an early adopter. And the truth is, I learned a long time ago that you either lead disruption or you will be disrupted. Blockbuster, Sears, Kodak are all great examples of companies that were disrupted. They got in their own way. They could have been leaders in their industry had they not wanted to change. And so the short answer to your question is you got to be prepared to change.
Right.
And if you're not prepared to change and look for opportunities to change, then you're going to be disrupted. And I want to lead the disruption, not be disrupted.
You know, it's funny that I just watched a documentary, but it's more cinematic documentary on BlackBerry.
BlackBerry. There was a movie made about it.
Yeah, that movie talks exactly to what you just said. Is like they were before Apple. They came out before Apple. They had the smartphone in their hands, and the founder couldn't get out of his own way.
Right.
When innovation was looming at the doors, right?
And that's happened over and over again. I mean, Sears closed down their catalog. You might be just slightly too young to remember the Sears catalog, a big printed catalog that came out every quarter or so.
I remember them as a kid.
Yeah, well, they closed down their catalog in 1993. Amazon opened their door in 1994. Had Sears said, let's hang on. Let's look at this internet thing that is starting to come about. Sears could have been Amazon.
It could have been.
Kodak invented the digital camera.
Isn't that crazy?
They had the patent on the digital camera. Kodak could have been Apple. I mean, come on, when you think about it, a computer company becomes a phone company. Right. Where's that come from?
Right.
Well, a film processing company to become a phone and camera company, it's no bigger a leap.
No.
And of course, Blockbuster had a chance to buy Netflix and refused because they didn't think they were a competitor. And so there's so many big companies that have been disrupted. I don't want to be disrupted. I want to lead the disruption. As a matter of fact, in 2018, you can find it on entrepreneur.com. I wrote an article. This isn't the title, but it's close. The future of face-to-face is online. And when I wrote that, people were like, oh, no, you don't say that shit. You're the founder of BNI. The old man's starting to lose it. I think I heard that. and I was like, no, the technology is advancing at such a fast pace that online meetings are probably inevitable. And I even said, we're going to see holographic meetings where people are doing holographic meetings like, Star Wars. You remember?
Yeah.
A real Jedi and then a couple of holographic Jedis and a real Jedi. In the article, I said, when we get to that point, I want to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. So I wrote this. People thought I was crazy. But guess what? January of this year, just 6 years after I wrote that article, we had our first BNI meeting in Dubai where the chapter president showed up as a full length holographic image and ran the entire BNI meeting as a holographic image.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. And look, if we don't stay focused on what technology is doing, we're going to be disrupted by it.
So are you seeing AI facilitate the new age of networking?
Well, I mean, I think there's still a lot up in the air on that.
Right.
But there are things that I have already told BNI members that they can do with AI that would help them greatly. For example, you're familiar with, I'm sure, with the concept called contact spheres and power teams. a context for a group of business professionals that are in a symbiotic relationship. And a power team is those people in that context sphere that you actually have the relationship with.
Right.
And so one of the things that I learned early on with the release of AI, and I did this when I was being driven by a BNI member sedan service. And he was saying, I'm trying to figure out, you know, who should be in my power team. And I said, why don't you ask AI? Ask ChatGPT. And he said, what a great idea. So I did it for him. I said, give me your email. I did it for him. And I said, you know, what professions fit within this power team?
Right.
And a power team, the context are a group of professionals that are in symbiotic relationships, compatible, non-competitive. And it gave me a whole list of professions.
That's awesome.
And I reached out to the guy and I said, these are the people that you should be really bringing into your personal network, these professions. And to me, that's the low-hanging fruit for something like AI. You use it for information gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure down the road, it's going to be used in many, many other ways, but information gathering is the obvious one right now.
I think that, so data, right? Like people don't realize that AI is the king of sifting through and synthesizing data, right? And one of the things I see coming in is like when you have a referral partner or maybe even a JV, right? A joint venture, and you're coming, you're like, well, who do you know? Don't ask the person across the table from you. Ask GPT, right? The chat GPT. Who in my contact sphere should we be talking to and introducing each other to? And it's going to give you the reasons and all the other things. And it'll even help you write the email for the introductions, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've used ChatGPT. I had to write an obituary or comments about somebody who had passed away who I didn't know real well, but they were active in the organization. And so I used ChatGPT to say, give me some suggestions. Now I rewrote it to make it a little more personal, but they gave me some great suggestions. I used AI to do a survey.
Mm.
Okay, so when I do surveys, as a rule, you write up a survey, you do a rough test, you got all kinds of problems, then you do a second version, you send that out to people again, you get more changes, you do a third version, and the whole thing takes 3-4 months to get a good survey.
Right.
I did it in 30 minutes.
Jeez,
with ChatGPT.
Isn't that crazy?
I did one test, got back, and the survey was, I needed 70 items on how to scale a business.
Okay.
Finance, marketing, management, HR, you know, different topics, but I needed 70 of them.
Dang.
And I said, you know, give me 10 on finance. And it just went, and I did one test and got back like 30 or 40 responses and only one new idea from doing the test. So the whole thing took a week versus 3 or 4 months.
Speed.
And I put the survey out. The survey, by the way, is for a book I'm working on called Garage to Global. How do you take your business from your garage, which I did, to a global enterprise? So it was things like that, just like you said, data.
Right.
It gave me all these ideas that were phenomenal. And by the way, I plugged in my ideas. So they knew what I was coming in with.
Right.
And they just added to it.
Right. I think that that's where a lot of people, they get, I don't know if they're lazy or they just don't know. Like the more you give AI, the better output you're going to get, the more personalized you get. Like,
Can I give you another example?
Go ahead.
I was with a friend of mine who's a member of the Transformational Leadership Council, and he's doing a book and he wants to show how you can use AI as a thought partner.
Yes.
And so he did an audio version of ChatGPT with me, and he said, tell ChatGPT about your book. And so I have a new book that just came out a few months ago called The Third Paradigm, which is about co-creation.
Okay.
So I did like 5 minutes just explaining it to the book. Man, maybe not 3 minutes explaining it to ChatGPT. And it said, okay, Ivan, and it asked one or two questions. And it said, so how can I help you? And I said, well, what can I do to market the book that I'm not doing already? And then I said all the things that I'm doing already.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, it's not going to give me anything. I mean, I've written 29 books, right?
Wow.
I'm not going to get anything. It gave me something I had never thought of, which was brilliant. It said, well, it seems like you're doing all of the things you should be doing to market a book. However, have you thought about doing a series of webinars, remote webinars on the book. So you do a virtual tour, it called it. Right. Have you thought about doing a virtual tour? And I'm like, no, what would that look like? And said, well, break the book down into different sections and then do a tour online and just invite thousands of people. And I thought, wow, what a great idea.
Oh my gosh.
And so I started doing virtual tours for my latest book because of a discussion with ChatGPT.
Yes. It's something that like my wife, she's actually asking me about, like, can the ChatGPT help me with this? I said, yes. It's just like, what can't it do? Anything you can't ask it to do. Like if you can't formulate a question, ChatGPT or any AI can't help you, right? But if you can formulate what you need in a question, and sometimes I even use it in like, what question should I ask you to get this output? It'll give me all the questions I'm supposed to answer, right? Oh, here's all the information I need from you before I can give you this output. Okay, great.
If only we could have ChatGPT implanted in our brain so that when we're talking to our spouse, we can say, how do I answer this question? Anyway, it gives you some choices. But
And make sure you get the right tone now.
Yes. Oh, yeah, you got to have the right tone. Got to have the right tone. Absolutely.
So let's do some future thinking, right?
Yeah.
If nothing was impossible, what would your dream be of how AI could impact networking organizations and networking in general?
Well, first of all, I think we're going to see certain professions disappear, and there'll be professions that are created that we've never thought of. I mean, you know, people say to me, well, what professions are there, you know, really that have come out of nowhere other than the technology professions like website development and robotics and whatnot? What profession that you would see on Main Street has come out in the last several years? And there's several, one of which is business coaching and life coaching. Mm-hmm. When I started BNI in 1985, a coach was my football coach. You know, there were no coaches. So there are professions that have developed, but there are also professions that have disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one of them are travel agents. Now, yes, there are still travel agents out there, but there was a time in BNI where virtually every chapter had a travel agent. But because of the internet, I would say maybe one or two out of 100 chapters have travel agents today because the industry has changed.
Right.
So we got to be cognizant of what professions might be in trouble. Mm-hmm. Paralegals in trouble.
Oh, yeah. They're almost
paralegals in trouble.
Yeah.
What you're going to have is an AI coordinator, a paralegal coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
But a paralegal themselves, I think I'd be worried if I were in paralegal. And my daughter was studying to be a paralegal assistant. And I said, I would focus on AI and paralegal as opposed to paralegal.
How you can manage paralegal tasks, because it still takes a human, right? I think that, like, in writing,
research.
Yeah. Yeah. Do the research. Yeah.
That's AI's expertise. The other thing is, and people are going to hate to hear this, but physician's assistants.
Oh yeah.
So I live on 10 acres in Austin. I've got a lot of deer and I got a tick bite. And the tick bite was clearly Lyme disease. And when it's a tick bite, that it's like a bullseye, boom, boom, boom. Mm. And so I could tell it was Lyme. And so I called up my physician's assistant, showed it to her. Did it by Zoom, by the way. You know, showed her a photograph, and she's like, "Yeah, that's a tick bite, Lyme. So here's what you need to do: boom, boom, boom. You need to take this particular antibiotic." She gave me the whole thing to do. I thought, gee, I wonder what ChatGPT would say. So I got on ChatGPT and I gave all my symptoms. I didn't say I had it. I just gave all my symptoms. Mm-hmm. It gave me two paragraphs of, you can't use ChatGPT for medical advice. We are not qualified to do medical. It was the lawyers, you know, like, you cannot use this for medical. And then when it was done saying that, it gave me like four paragraphs of everything I should do. And it was exactly what the physician's assistant said, down to the antibiotic that was recommended. They said there's like five or six antibiotics that are often used, but this is the most common, and this is the one that you should use generally.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
I think that we're going to become, well, so like you're an author, 29 books, right? And I'm an author. I've got a couple books out now too. And I find that I can utilize ChatGPT for all the research stuff really well, right? Yeah. It can't, it doesn't write for us, but it definitely it dives into the ideation, the research, and a lot of editing. Like,
well, a lot of editing, but what I fear is that it does.
Can you write that back out to me? And a lot of times they do.
Yeah, and you could put in material and it will edit. But what I fear is AI writing for us. And I teach at a university, I won't name the university to get them in trouble, but I teach at a university, I teach an MBA program on leadership. And I was, I'd started the class and AI was just reasonably new. And I didn't say to them, you can't do papers with AI. And 25% of the papers I got back. You can run them through AI search, online programs. 25% of the papers I got back had been written by AI. And so I'm worried about education. I'm worried about learning. I'm worried about writing. You know, if AI is writing for us, that concerns me a little bit. And it concerns me in an educational situation in the sense that I need to be thinking about, especially leadership. What kind of leader do I want to be? How do I want to interact with people? What are the values that I have as a leader? How am I going to implement those? These are things that I should be writing about, not asking AI to write about. Exactly. And so I have fears about stuff like that. That doesn't mean we shouldn't look. The genie's out of the bottle. It's out. So what we need to do is figure out how to deal with it, as opposed to trying to put it back in the bottle, because that isn't going to work.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. I think if you hit the nail on the head, though, it's like it's a tool, right? And you have a quarter of your class in an MBA program that is not really. It sounds like to me, if somebody's using ChatGPT to write their paper in leadership in an MBA program, they're there to get the credit, not the education, right? And when you're curious, you want to be the creator, because when you create, you learn, right? When you teach, you learn. You know, when you practice,
100%.
And I think that the big takeaway here is that we utilize AI for what it is. It's a tool, not a crutch.
Yeah, 100%. And life gets in the way. And when we see opportunities to kind of cut corners, many of us will cut corners. I mean, I've cut corners a couple of times in my life and didn't like the fact that I did that and stopped. Cutting corners, and I'm hoping that the students that I busted, and I busted them. I didn't bust them.
Public shaming.
Well, it was a public shaming to the entire group.
Yeah,
not any individual. Individuals, you always reprimand or redirect in private,
right?
And praise in public,
right?
And so I redirected publicly to the group, and then individually to all of the students, one at a time,
right,
privately. And I let them rewrite their paper, and whatever grade they got, I knocked it down a grade. So they had a chance to redo their paper. And they all did, 100% redid their paper. And 90% of them admitted guilty. One didn't. And I was like, well, here's the evidence. I just showed it to her, and she's like, I'll just redo the paper. She never said I did it, but she said, I'll redo the paper.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh my gosh. I definitely want to thank you again for your time today. I think that we've definitely dove a bunch of different ways with AI and how we're interacting as humans with this new technology, and how it's continually going to be affecting how we move through our existence as human beings. And we don't know what the future holds.
There is one thing though, if you don't mind me adding, Michael, it's still about relationships.
Yeah.
And so even though you've got the technology, the AI, it's still about relationships. Yeah. It's about, the fact that networking is more about farming than it is about hunting. It's about cultivating these relationships that you have with people. It's about creating visibility in the community, most importantly, establishing credibility in the community, and then you lead to profitability. And so you have all these tools. I mean, I think back when I was younger and in college and having a calculator and the professor saying you can't use a calculator in math class. We've come so far, right? Yeah, where's your calculator? And just use the calculator. So we've come a long way. AI, we'll work it out. I really believe we'll work it out. But it's still about relationships. I know we're out of time, but I'm going to tell you one more quick story. I went to a BNI event once where they were talking about the formula for success in networking. I'm like, man, I got to see this. And so he stood up and he had this whiteboard and he's writing on this whiteboard. It was a really complex formula about Metz law and Dunbar's factor and all of these things and doing the square root of the number of the people. And I'm like, whoa, this is really confusing. And he's sounding confused with his own formula. And then finally he looks at it and he puts a big red X through the whole thing. And he says, oh, forget about the formula. It's all about relationships. And we're like, yeah, okay. That's it. It's all about relationships. So use AI as a tool, but don't forget, it's all about relationships.
Oh my gosh, that was huge right there. So many nuggets. If you didn't pick up at least a dozen, you owe it to yourself to go back and listen to this episode again. Ivan Meisner, one of the most giving people I've ever met in my life. Like he said, he's got 29 books. If you want to check out more about Dr. Ivan Meisner, go to ivanmeisner.com. If you're interested in learning more about BNI, go to bni.com. Believe me, I was in it for 11 years, and I'm telling you right now, it made me millions. You should check it out too. Until next time, stay buzzworthy.